Almost 18 million children in the United States have at least one immigrant parent. They face the usual uncertainties that face all parents, from obtaining supports for a struggling child to accessing affordable health care, but they can also face unique cultural and linguistic differences. Today, those who have not secured U.S. citizenship often find themselves confronting more open racism and potentially precarious legal status concerns. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Erin McKinney with Just Neighbors. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you.
Today we're discussing some of the unique stressors immigrant families face and how our communities can work together to support those in need. So we want to avoid stereotypes as we talk today, and for many of us, the word immigrant might elicit one particular image. But really, the term immigrants in the United States encompasses a huge variety of experiences and background and even legal status situations, right? So tell us a little bit about what we should be thinking about when we hear immigrant.
Well, immigrants are really defined as foreign-born. So they could be naturalized citizens. They could be legal permanent residents, refugees, asylees, even the undocumented. They could be here on temporary visas. So there's a broad range of status for the larger immigrant community. But I think the other thing that has happened is up until the 70s, immigrants in the United States were predominantly from Europe or Canada. About 85% of immigrants up until 1970 were from Western Europe or Canada. That has flip-flopped in the last 50 years. So now that 85% of the immigrants are coming from Central and South America or Asia, about a little over half from Central and South America, and about 35% from Asia. So what immigrants looked like 50 years ago has changed. It's affected very much culturally, because where most of our country came from Western Europe, when immigrants came in, their ability to culturally integrate wasn't as challenging as coming from Asian or South American or Central American cultures, which were much less Eurocentric. And so we see it in the change in the types of restaurants and foods. You know, where I grew up in the Midwest, we ate meat and potatoes. Restaurants served American food, and that's how it was defined. Now you have a much broader availability of Asian or Mexican or Peruvian foods and things like that that add greatly to our culture.
The face of America.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the stressors that you all see in the immigrant families that you're serving?
I think the biggest thing we're seeing right now is just a general sense of fear. With the changes that are happening with the new administration, the fear of deportation and the impact that's going to have on their families. And so, you know, they're basically just trying to figure out what the best approach is to functioning. And so they're trying to keep their children going to school. They're trying to continue to work. But at the same time, they're trying to somewhat disappear from visibility. And it really affects their identity as individuals and as families. And it's upsetting the whole community, not just the immigrant population.
Right. And I think it is important to also remember that that within a family, different members of the family may have different legal status, but family systems, they all get affected.
That's absolutely correct. And so, you know, children who are citizens, or children in general who've been here, maybe were born elsewhere, they think of themselves as Americans. They have nothing else to base it on, or have no recall of where they might have come from. And so it's confusing to them that somebody's questioning their identity as an American, because this is all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, and they may be, in fact, citizens or not, but then if their parents, one or both, is undocumented, then it creates a whole level of stress for the entire family that's just really makes it very difficult to function.
Right. And I think sometimes folks who don't know a lot about immigration think of immigration as sort of a black or white issue. You're either legal or you're not legal, but really it's more complex than that, and there's a lot of gray areas of people who are in uncertain sort of legal status.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, you hear in the news about the border crossers, and there are clearly a lot of them, but there's also a large percentage of immigrants who overstay visas. So they may come on a tourist visa, they may come on a student visa or a work visa, and opt not to return. So there's different reasons people have gotten here. They may come to marry and find out that their spouse here may be abusive. And so we see a lot of situations where we have immigrants that are mixed into families that are citizens, and that creates another set of circumstances that are very complex. There's very little law out there that is more complex than immigration law.
And there's some pretty significant fees to renewing certain things and that kind of thing. So people can have been eligible to renew something, but for financial or missing a date or something.
Absolutely. You have to renew a work permit every 2 years, and that costs almost $500 just for the renewal fee. That does not include typical legal fees to help with that paperwork. And depending on what you're filing for, the fees could be more or less. Now, there are some waivers of those fees in some instances, but not all. DACA, for example, which is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which is kind of the DREAM Act light, it costs almost $500, and you have to renew that every 2 years, and that's not a waivable fee.
And it's per child.
And it is per child.
So let's talk about the children and the impact that all of this going on in their community has on the kids and the families that you see.
Well, I think their, again, I think their sense of identity is very confused because particularly young children don't really have a sense. If they've been here for a couple years and they're 5 or 6 years old, they don't know any different, so they don't necessarily understand the situation. As they get older, you know, and what we're starting to see, unfortunately, is an uptick in hate communications where you're not from here, go home. And that's happening at the youngest levels in schools and so forth. And so there's a lot of confusion, I think, particularly for younger kids. And for the older kids, I think it's just, it's real resentment that they're in that situation. And the difficulty, again, when they're citizens and their parents aren't, is that complete fear of what happens to me if my parents get deported. And so it just, it creates a very confused situation. And again, there's been a tendency for families to kind of go underground.
Which isolates them even further.
Even further.
Some support. If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Aaron McKinney from Just Neighbors. So what are some of the suggestions and recommendations you all give to families about how to prepare?
Well, first of all, we recommend that every immigrant, whether you are a citizen or you're undocumented, attend a Know Your Rights session. Most immigrants, in fact, most Americans don't really know what their rights are if you were to get stopped by the police. So that's, whether you're undocumented or not, you actually do have rights by the Constitution. So part of that training is really to kind of understand what you are required to do and what you're not required to do. So that's the first and most important thing. The second thing is really all parents need to do this is to plan for separation. I've used this example in the training is that regardless of your immigration status, you could be killed in a car accident going to pick up your kids from school. Who's going to be responsible for the children if something like that happens? And so what we've really been trying to do is help the immigrant population put documentation in place, do the powers of attorney and so forth, that basically accounts for the scenario, whether it was a car accident or they were to get deported, to really who's going to take care of their children, who's going to take care of their assets, and those kinds of things. Again, this is something every parent needs to do, but it is particularly important. And when we've done the training and helped them with that, it's been a very empowering experience for, I think, for the immigrants to feel like they're taking some action that will help protect their children.
And getting passports for those children who are American citizens, right? Because if one parent is deported and both parents have to show up to get the passport, you can't even reunite families back in the home country if you haven't done that.
Yeah, it certainly adds a layer of complication to things. So yes, and from what I hear, the lines at the passport centers are very long. So people are starting to get that message and trying to do that. And that's, you know, as American citizens, we're not required to carry documents. But what we see happening is a presumption of who is an immigrant and who isn't based on their looks. And that happens from childhood through adult. You look like an immigrant, whether you were born here or not. They're being confronted.
Right. And then how do we talk to kids, in our own families or who know a child, how do we help kids deal with the anxiety and the confusion that they're feeling?
I think having honest conversation, but trying to position it as these are conversations all families have. For example, in the Know Your Rights, we train people not to open their door to ICE agents, that there's processes they go through before they would open their door. Well, quite frankly, you teach your children very young, you don't open the door to strangers. So I think if parents can position it is that we're teaching you not to open the door to strangers, no matter who it is, you do not open the door, and practice that so that it becomes normal for them. And as the children get older and you can have more of the difficult conversations about the risk, is making them aware of who you have said will take care of you in the event something happens and where your important documents are. So as the kids get older, they can have a little bit more of that sense of comfort that things are being taken care of. But again, these conversations aren't necessarily have to be unique to the immigrant community. These are basic good parenting things from educating your kids.
And tell us about what Just Neighbors does so that our audience knows the kinds of supports you offer.
We are a nonprofit immigration law firm. We serve the lowest income immigrants in basically humanitarian cases. So we work with those who have a pathway to some form of immigration benefit. Often it's victims of domestic violence or violent crimes. It could be folks that are here on temporary status because there's been war or a natural disaster in their countries. We do a lot of the DACA cases. So we typically help those folks who can't afford other legal help. And that's our primary mission. The other piece we have taken on recently is this education piece. So we have been doing Know Your Rights and separation planning sessions for the community. We've just trained a lot of volunteers to help us meet the demand for those kinds of presentations. And we feel, even though that's kind of beyond the scope of our basic mission, is it's critical that we do that as a resource to the community.
Yeah. Thank you for the work that you do. We have just about a minute left. Is there one final message you want to leave the community at large who might be listening today about how to support vulnerable families in our community?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is really to reach out and to let folks know, whether they're citizens or not, that they're welcome. And that if they're scared, be a buddy. If they're afraid to go to the store because they look like an immigrant, offer to go with them. It may offer some degree of comfort, and I think will make them feel more welcome. And it's just, we just really hope it doesn't send the entire population back underground, because it's a big, important part of our community that we need to celebrate.
Makes our community stronger.
Absolutely.
In a time of uncertainty regarding immigration policy and practice in our country, we all have the opportunity to support our immigrant neighbor families with information they need to feel safe and supported. It's critical that families and communities know where to turn for accurate information, trusted resources, and ethical legal counsel. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank iHeartMedia and Aaron McKinney from Just Neighbors for joining me to talk about this important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can help all families thrive. For more information on various parenting topics, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.